Well, we are rounding out another work week here. The day is Friday, September the 8th, day 251 in our journey through the Bible. Hello to everyone out there. My name's Hunter, and we are about to do what we do every day. We're going to spend some time in God's Word, and we're going to let God's Word spend its time on us. You know how we need that, no doubt about that. Well, we're praying for Florida, and we're still praying for Houston and Texas, the Gulf region. Boy, talk about a 1-2 punch. Incredible. Listen, if you are in the Houston area, would love to hear from you. Love to find out how things went for you. Hoping that you guys have made out okay. So if you've got a moment, I'm sure you've got lots of things to tend to, but would love to find out how things shaped up for you. Well, today, my friends, we are in the book of Jeremiah, chapters 42 through 44, Psalm 48, and Revelation chapter 13. What do you say we jump right in? Jeremiah chapter 42. We are reading through the New Living Translation. Let's jump right in here. Then all the military leaders, including Johanan, son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, son of Hoshaiah, and all the people, from the least to the greatest, approached Jeremiah the prophet. They said, "Please pray to the Lord your God for us. As you can see, we are only a tiny remnant compared to what we were before. Pray that the Lord your God will show us what to do and where to go." "All right," Jeremiah replied. "I will pray to the Lord your God, as you have asked, and I will tell you everything he says, and will hide nothing from you." Then they said to Jeremiah, "May the Lord your God be a faithful witness against us if we refuse to obey whatever he tells us to do. Whether we like it or not, we will obey the Lord our God to whom we are sending you with our plea. For if we obey him, everything will turn out well for us." 10 days later, the Lord gave his reply to Jeremiah. So he called for Johanan, son of Kareah, and the other military leaders, and for all the people from the least to the greatest. He said to them, "You sent me to the Lord, the God of Israel, with your request, and this is his reply. Stay here in this land. If you do, I will build you up and not tear you down. I will plant you and not uproot you, for I am sorry about all the punishment I've had to bring upon you. Do not fear the king of Babylon anymore, says the Lord, for I am with you and will save you and rescue you from his power. I will be merciful to you by making him kind, so he will let you stay here in your land. But if you refuse to obey the Lord your God, and if you say, 'We will not stay here, instead we will go to Egypt, where we will be free from war, the call to arms, and hunger,' then hear the Lord's message to the remnant of Judah. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. If you are determined to go to Egypt and live there, the very war and famine you fear will catch up to you, and you will die there. That is the fate awaiting every one of you who insists on going to live in Egypt. Yes, you will die from war, famine, and disease. None of you will escape the disaster I will bring upon you there. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. Just as my anger and fury have been poured out on the people of Jerusalem, so they will be poured out on you when you enter Egypt. You will be an object of damnation, horror, cursing, and mockery, and you will never see your homeland again. Listen, you remnant of Judah. The Lord has told you, do not go to Egypt. Don't forget this warning I have given you today. For you were not being honest when you sent me to pray to the Lord your God for you. You said, 'Just tell us what the Lord our God says, and we will do it.' And today I have told you exactly what he said. But you will not obey the Lord your God any better now than you have in the past. So you can be sure that you will die from war, famine, and disease in Egypt, where you insist on going." Jeremiah 43. When Jeremiah had finished giving this message from the Lord their God to all the people, Azariah son of Hoshaiah and Johanan son of Kareah and all the other proud men said to Jeremiah, "You lie! The Lord our God hasn't forbidden us to go to Egypt. Baruch, son of Neriah, has convinced you to say this because he wants us to stay here and be killed by the Babylonians or be carried off into exile. So Johanan and the other military leaders and all the people refused to obey the Lord's command to stay in Judah. Johanan and the other leaders took with them all the people who had returned from the nearby countries to which they had fled. In the crowd were men, women, and children, the king's daughters and all those whom Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, had left with Gedaliah, the prophet Jeremiah, and Baruch were also included. The people refused to obey the voice of the Lord and went to Egypt, going as far as the city of Tahpanhes. Then at Tahpanhes the Lord gave another message to Jeremiah. He said, "While the people of Judah are watching, take some large rocks and bury them under the pavement stones at the entrance of Pharaoh's palace here in Tahpanhes. Then say to the people of Judah, 'This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says: I will certainly bring my servant Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, here to Egypt. I will set his throne over these stones that I have hidden. He will spread his royal canopy over them. And when he comes, he will destroy the land of Egypt. He will bring death to those destined for death, captivity for those destined for captivity, and war for those destined for war. He will set fire to the temples of Egypt's god. He will burn the temples and carry the idols away as plunder. He will pick clean the land of Egypt as a shepherd picks fleas from his flock, and he himself will leave unharmed. He will break down the sacred pillars standing in the temple of the sun in Egypt, and he will burn down the temples of Egypt's gods.'" Jeremiah 44. This is the message Jeremiah received concerning the Judeans living in northern Egypt in the cities of Migdal, Tahpanhes, and Memphis, and in southern Egypt as well. "This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says: You saw the calamity I brought on Jerusalem and all the towns of Judah. They now lie deserted and in ruins. They provoked my anger with all their wickedness. They burned incense and worshipped other gods, gods that neither they nor any of your ancestors have ever known. Again and again I sent my servants, the prophets, to plead with them, 'Don't do these horrible things that I hate so much.' But my people would not listen or turn their back from their wicked ways. They kept on burning incense to these gods. And so my fury boiled over and fell like fire on the towns of Judah and into the streets of Jerusalem, and they are still a desolate ruin today. And now the Lord God of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, asks you, 'Why are you destroying yourselves? For not one of you will survive, not a man, woman, or child among you who has come here from Judah, not even the babies in your arms. Why provoke my anger by burning incense to idols you have made here in Egypt? You will only destroy yourselves and make yourself an object of cursing and mockery for all the nations of the earth. Have you forgotten the sins of your ancestors, the sins of the kings and queens of Judah, and the sins you and your wives committed in Judah and Jerusalem? To this very hour you have shown no remorse or reverence. No one has chosen to follow my word and the decrees I gave you and your ancestors before you. Therefore, this is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says: I am determined to destroy every one of you. I will take this remnant of Judah, those who were determined to come here and live in Egypt, and I will consume them. They will fall here in Egypt, killed by war and famine. All will die from the least to the greatest. They will be an object of damnation, horror, cursing, and mockery. I will punish them in Egypt, just as I punished them in Jerusalem, by war, famine, and disease. Of that remnant who fled to Egypt, hoping someday to return to Judah, there will be no survivors. Even though they long to return home, only a handful will do so." Then all the women present and all the men who knew that their wives had burnt incense to idols, a great crowd of all the Judeans living in northern Egypt and southern Egypt, answered Jeremiah, "We will not listen to your message from the Lord. We will do whatever we want. We will burn incense and pour out our liquid offerings to the Queen of Heaven just as much as we like, just as we and our ancestors and our kings and officials have always done in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. For in those days we had plenty to eat, and we were well off and had no troubles. But ever since we quit burning incense to the Queen of Heaven and stopped worshiping her with liquid offerings, we have been in great trouble and have been dying from war and famine. Besides," the women added, "do you suppose that we were burning incense and pouring out liquid offerings to the Queen of Heaven and making cakes marked with her image without our husbands knowing it and helping us? Of course not." Then Jeremiah said to all of them, men and women alike, who had given him that answer. Do you think the Lord did not know that you and your ancestors, your kings and officials, and all the people were burning incense to idols in the towns of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? It was because the Lord could no longer bear all the disgusting things you were doing that he made your land an object of cursing, a desolate ruin without inhabitants, as it is today. All these terrible things happened to you because you have burnt incense to idols and sinned against the Lord. You have refused to obey him and have not followed his instructions, his decrees, and his laws. Then Jeremiah said to them all, including the women, "Listen to this message from the Lord, all you citizens of Judah who live in Egypt. This is what the Lord of heaven's armies, the God of Israel, says. You and your wives have said, 'We will keep our promise to burn incense and pour out liquid offerings to the Queen of Heaven.' And you have proved by your actions that you meant it. So go ahead and carry out your promises and vows to her. But listen to this message from the Lord. All you Judeans now living in Egypt, I have sworn by my great name, says the Lord, that my name will no longer be spoken by any of the Judeans in the land of Egypt. None of you may invoke my name or use this oath as surely as the sovereign Lord lives, for I will watch over you to bring you disaster and not good. Everyone from Judah who is now living in Egypt will suffer war and famine until all of you are dead. Only a small number will escape death and return to Judah from Egypt. Then all those who came to Egypt will find out whose words are true, mine or theirs. And this is the proof I give you, says the Lord, that all I have threatened will happen to you, and that I will punish you here. This is what the Lord says. I will turn Pharaoh, Hophra, king of Egypt, over to his enemies who want to kill him, just as I turned King Zedekiah of Judah over to King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon." Psalm 48. How great is the Lord, how deserving of praise in the city of our God, which sits on his holy mountain. It is high and magnificent. The whole earth rejoices to see it. Mount Zion, the holy mountain, is the city of the great king. God himself is in Jerusalem's towers, revealing himself as its defender. The kings of the earth joined forces and advanced against the city. But when they saw it, they were stunned. They were terrified and ran away. They were gripped with terror and writhed in pain like a woman in labor. You destroyed them like the mighty ships of Tarshish, shattered by a powerful east wind. We had heard of the city's glory, but now we have seen it ourselves, the city of the Lord of heaven's armies. It is the city of our God. He will make it safe forever. O God, we meditate on your unfailing love as we worship in your temple. As your name deserves, O God, you will be praised to the ends of the earth. Your strong right hand is filled with victory. Let the people on Mount Zion rejoice. Let all the towns of Judah be glad because of your justice. Go inspect the city of Jerusalem. Walk around and count the many towers. Take note of the fortified walls and tour all the citadels that you may describe them to future generations. For that is what God is like. He is our God forever and ever. And he will guide us until we die. Revelation 13. Then I saw a beast rising out of the sea. It had 7 heads and 10 horns and 10 crowns on its horns. And written on each head were names that blasphemed God. This beast looked like a leopard, but it had the feet of a bear and the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave the beast its own power and throne and great authority. I saw that one of the heads of the beast seemed wounded beyond recovery, but the fatal wound was healed. The whole world marveled at the miracle and gave allegiance to the beast. They worshipped the dragon for giving the beast such power, and they also worshipped the beast. "Who is as great as the beast?" they exclaimed. "Who is able to fight against him?" Then the beast was allowed to speak great blasphemies against God, and he was given authority to do whatever he wanted for 42 months. And he spoke terrible words of blasphemy against God, slandering his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. And the beast was allowed to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And he was given authority to rule over every tribe and people and language and nation, and all the people who belonged to this world worshipped the beast. They are the ones whose names were not written in the book of life that belongs to the Lamb, who was slaughtered before the world was made. Anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. Anyone who is destined for prison will be taken to prison. Anyone destined to die by the sword will die by the sword. This means that God's holy people must endure persecution patiently and remain faithful. Then I saw another beast come up out of the earth. He had two horns like those of a lamb, but he spoke with the voice of a dragon. He exercised all the authority of the first beast, and he required all the earth and its people to worship the first beast, whose fatal wound had been healed. He did astounding miracles, even making fire flash down to the earth from the sky while everyone was watching. And with all the miracles he was allowed to perform on behalf of the first beast, he deceived all the people who belonged to this world. He ordered the people to make a great statue of the first beast, who was fatally wounded and then came back to life. He was then permitted to give life to this statue so that it could speak. Then the statue of the beast commanded that anyone refusing to worship it must die. He required everyone, small and great, rich and poor, free and slave, to be given a mark on the right hand or on the forehead. And no one could buy or sell anything without that mark, which was either the name of the beast or the number representing his name. Wisdom is needed here. Let the one with understanding solve the meaning of the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man. His number is 666. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. 666 is the number of a man, we're told. Lots has been written about this number, about this beast. It's easy to get kind of wigged out even talking about it. Three sixes, though, it's a trinity of numbers, but it's an unholy trinity. It's man magnified, man exalted, man worshipped. It's a beastly reality. Indeed it is. And what a stark contrast that is from the Holy Trinity, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're told that great wisdom is required to understand what these numbers mean, what their ramifications are. I'm not pretending to have that kind of wisdom, but it seems to me that whether it's the Queen of Heaven, as Jeremiah is confronting, or the multi-headed dragon that John has described here, the result is the same. When man is deceived by Satan to exalt himself, the results are always monstrous. They are always destructive. Destruction in people's lives, it always follows. Satan's great strategy has never really varied since the beginning, since the garden until this very moment here that John is describing. Seeds of doubt are sown into the hearts of men. And the love of self, self-exaltation, man at the center is offered. 666. You can be like God without God. You can have the knowledge of good and evil without God. You can be at the center. And when that happens, the monster is once again born. She may appear at first like an angel of light or a queen of heaven, or a dragon with many heads, it doesn't matter. The result is just the same. But our reading in Psalms today tells of a different way, a way that leads to freedom and life, not destruction, a future and a hope. Our psalmist says, O God, we meditate on your unfailing love. Our God is like a fortified wall. He's like a citadel, a beacon. That's what our God is like, my friend, and we will continue to tell it to future generations. My friends, today I choose to align my heart with his will, his purposes, in allegiance to him and to his kingdom, and not my own. We renounce the lie that is embedded in that number 666, man exalting himself, honoring himself, worshiping the self. No, Lord, we worship you and you alone. That's the prayer of my own heart today, that I will have you at the center. That's the prayer that I have for my family, for my wife, my daughters, my son. And that's the prayer that I have for you. May it be so. Well, dailyradiobible.com, that's our home base out here in the interwebs, and it is always a blessing to hear from you, to find out who you are, where you're from, how you stumbled upon this podcast. So next time you got a moment, take it and let a brother know. Hey, speaking of letting folks know, we are still experiencing a lot of new downloads each day, exponentially more than in the past. I don't know if exponential is the word. About four times as much as we had been experiencing each day. And it sure is a curiosity. Would love to know what's bringing about this rise in downloads of the app each day. So if any of you have a clue out there, feel free to drop me a line. Hey, here's some things that I'd love for you to do. And the first would be this. Just simply share the app. I'm grateful for the many that are downloading the app, and I would love for there to be even more. I'm greedy about that kind of stuff. You know, I would love to get this ministry into the hands of more and more people, people who are hungry for the Word of God, and you play a huge part in that, simply sharing it with the people in your life. We've made it easy. One, it's free, and two, all you have to do is click on a link that says share the app. And then you can pass it on in about five different ways. So share the app. And while you're at it, while you're in the sharing mode, how about sharing our Facebook posts on your Facebook wall? You know, this is a great way to let folks know what you're up to. And it can also be an invitation for folks out there to join you in this journey. All you have to do is click on the link below the picture that says share, and there you go. You've done it. You've shared it. So consider sharing our posts, our Facebook posts, simply by clicking the share button. And the last thing is this. Will you partner with the Daily Radio Bible? This ministry doesn't exist without you, without partners coming alongside and saying, hey, I want to be a part of it. And if that's you, you can do that very simply by going to dailyradiobible.com and clicking on the donate link. You can also give right from the app itself. Just click on the donate link there. Or if you're old school and you want to mail your gift in, you can mail it to Daily Radio Bible, 7216 Rolling Oaks Court, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45239. Well, hey, we have done it again. We have spent another day in the Bible. And I plan on being back here again tomorrow to do the same thing. Lord willing, and the creek don't rise. I fully intend to be here. Until that time, let's go forward. Let's go forward in God's joy. Let's let God's joy be our strength. And let's remember this, that He is at the center. And we are loved. No doubt about it. All righty, I'll talk to you again tomorrow. You take care.